Thank you. The last messages that I've shared, and that brings me up to the one today, at the risk of exaggerating, I feel like are three of the most important messages, or four, that I've ever shared. The two on grace, the one last week on forgiveness, and this one, which I've titled The Other Side of the Cross. And I invite you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, through him, sorry, the clicker's not working here. Lisa, if you could give me control, thank you. Sorry about that. There we go. Got the words on the screen for you. Sorry. Let me start again. Therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, through him, we've obtained access by faith into this what? Grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Father, we just thank you again this morning for the privilege of looking into your word and plumbing the depths of your eternal truths. And Father, I ask today for all of us that you would, that those truths would be like seeds sown into the soil of our hearts, and that they would grow and sprout and bear much fruit, not for our sake, God, but for your sake, for your kingdom, and for your glory, O Lord. And Father, this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The New Living Translation takes that second part of verse 2 and it says, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So, little audience participation. I want to ask you two questions. What is the purpose of Christ's death, and what is the purpose of the church? Let's start with Christ's death. What is the purpose of Christ's death? Why did Jesus come to this earth and die for you and me? Rick? Okay, destroy the power of sin. Very good. Everybody agree with that, yes? Yes. Melissa, anybody else? To redeem us? Way back in the back. Bring us all together as one new man. Very good. Yes. Usher in God's kingdom. Would all, yes, Paul, to make atonement. Lynn, to show us God's love and being, all those we'd agree with, yes, okay? Let me give you a few that I put on here: to save us from our sin, to be an example for us, to fulfill prophecy, to glorify God, to do his Father's will. Now, how about the church? What's our purpose? What's the purpose of the church? Wait a minute, let me let you get some hands here again so we can, okay, Melissa, to be his body, okay, very good, to be a witness for Christ, to be an ambassador for Christ, Rick, temple of the Holy Spirit, to come like him, Paul, to be a pillar of truth, Chris, bride of Christ, okay, great. How many of you agree all those are true, huh? Yes? All right. I've got here to worship God, to lead people to Christ, to be a light to the world, to glorify God, to build a community of people passionate for God. Now, and again, this list could be expanded, obviously. I'm not trying to be exhaustive, but what might we say is the primary purpose for why Jesus came and died for us? What is the primary purpose? Show us the Father's heart, okay? All right, I'm asking, actually, thank you, but I'm actually asking from this list. What would you say from the list is the primary purpose, okay? But Okay? I'd like to suggest to you that his primary purpose was and is to glorify God. I'm going to prove that to you now. Yeah. I'd like to present to you two ologies. Everybody knows what an ology is. Ology is a study or science of some sort of work. I happen to have a master's in theological studies. So what did I study? Theology, okay? Makes me really smart. Actually, doesn't. But there's all sorts of ologies, aren't there? There's theology and what's some other ologies?
Biology.
Study of what? Body or life, right? Bio, meaning life. What else?
Meteorology.
Study of?
Meteors.
All right. What else? Yeah, Thomas. Yes, sir. Psychology. There you go. Yeah, I actually teach psychology. Study of psychologist. No. All right, so you get the point. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about meology and doxology. And I believe that one of the greatest challenges that the church today faces, and I'm not just talking about broader than our own church, the greatest challenge the church faces today is which side of the cross are you standing on? Which side of the cross? Now, the meologist says God is focused on whom? Me. Now, in every one of these statements there's some truth. Does God love you? In fact, he loves you more than you could possibly love him. You know that, right? I mean, he loves us with an infinite love. But the meologist is focused on me. The doxologist is focused on whom? Focused on God. The meologist says God's glory is about advancing what? My kingdom. The doxologist is saying my life is about advancing whose kingdom? God's kingdom. The meologist says God lives to make me famous. The doxologist says what? I live to make God famous. The meologist said Jesus died on the cross so that I could live a happy life. Somebody said that recently, but I won't go there. All right. Jesus died so I could live a happy life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Jesus died on the cross to bring glory to the Father. The meologist says God would never allow one of his saints to suffer. The doxologist says, if necessary, I'm willing to suffer to bring glory to the Father. Let me just talk a minute about suffering. Anybody in here like to suffer? No. I like the banner over the camp of the Navy SEALs, the training camp, that says the only easy day was yesterday. The only easy day was yesterday. I've listed for you a number of scriptures regarding suffering, and we're not going to look at all of those, but let's just look at one of them from 1 Peter. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of what? His glory. At the revelation of his glory. Now, let's take a minute to look at God's glory. The Hebrew word, kabod, means to be heavy. I think we've learned this before. Fred's taught us and others have to be honored also. But it talks about weight and heaviness. The psalmist says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the expanse shows the work of his hands. Now I was going to put up here for you the number of the weight of the sun. It was too big for me to put on the screen. Let me just put it in terms we can all understand. The sun weighs 330,000 times as much as the earth does. Okay, now you think about all of the suns in our solar system. Then you think of all the solar systems in the expanse of the universe. Think of the weight of that. the weight of God's glory. It's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you don't want to think too long about it because your mind will start to freeze or something. You know, it's just mind-boggling. You know, the weight of God's glory, the kavod, the weight of his glory. And then how about God's creation? God created flowers. But God didn't just say, here's a flower. And this flower is the same all over the world. Anybody want to guess how many flowers God created? 240,000. And these are round numbers, okay? And there's some we're still not even sure of, we're discovering. So this, the best guesstimates in round numbers, 240,000 flowers. How about trees? 10,000 different kinds of trees. Now, how about fish? And I know that's at the bottom of the screen. It might be hard for some of you to see that. But how many different kinds of fish? You might want to take a guess. 300, and that's a little high, yeah, but yeah, the nice guess. 20,000 species of fish. All right? Insects. I know most of us aren't real happy about insects. I got a beetle here in honor of Chris and Fred, who's not here today because their love for the beetles. Of course, it's spelled differently, but anyway. How many different kinds of insects? Well, close to a million. Yeah, they said it. Some people say a million, some say 900,000, somewhere between 900,000 and a million different kinds of insects. You know, too many. Yeah. When I get to heaven, the one thing I'm going to, one of the many things I'm going to ask God is, why did you create the mosquito? You know? Yeah, the mosquito. Yeah. Do you know what, of all the animals in God's creation, do you know what is the responsible for more deaths than any other? Mosquitoes. Yeah. I mean, when you, grizzly bears and all those things, the numbers are in the thousands or hundreds. With mosquitoes, it's in the millions. It's amazing. Yeah, isn't that amazing? So how about birds? Everybody loves birds, don't you? 10,000 different kinds of birds. And mammals, 15,000 different kinds of mammals. Now, does that say something about God's glory and his weight of glory? You know, just think of taking one of each of those, one representative of the flower, the tree, the fish, the insect, all that. So 240,000 flowers, 10,000 trees, 20,000 fish, 900,000 insects, 10,000 birds, and 15,000 mammals, and putting them all together in one big pile. That's a lot of weight, isn't it? Yeah. That's the weight of his glory. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But God didn't stop there, did he? How about people? Wow. I mean, look at all the different faces of people, huh? Look at all that. In fact, I didn't do this on purpose, but there's a young woman, some women praying here at the Wailing Wall there. I just happened to notice that when I pulled this off the internet. You know, and what do we know about people? Everybody has a different what? Fingerprint. Okay. How many people in the world today? 7 billion, over 7 billion now. And it's believed that as many people live on earth today as have lived since the beginning of recorded history, 6,000 years ago. So assuming that's true, that means 14 billion people have lived on the earth and no one's the same. No fingerprints alike. Whoa. Figure that one out. And the scripture says that for you made him a little lower than the angels and you crowned him with glory and honor. God's crown of creation, men and women. So, we're created in whose image? God's image. Truly remarkable. So, let's look at the New Testament for a minute. Doxa, which means, really it means more to think. It means that in your mind, you glorify somebody or something. You're thinking glorious thoughts. And when we read about Jesus, we say that when the angels came and announced his birth, they said what? Glory. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. And we see as Jesus walked on this earth, he demonstrated the Father's glory. You know, as much as we desire to see people healed, and as often as we pray for people for that purpose, the ultimate goal of that is what? That God will be glorified. That God will be glorified. And as Jesus did that in his ministry on the earth, who was glorified? His Father. His Father was glorified. And Jesus said, I'm going to come back one day, and I'm going to come back in my Father's glory. I'm going to come back in my Father's glory. Now, John chapter 12, set the scene. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He knows what he is going to have to face. He realizes that his life will soon be ending. And Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Now, before I read the rest of this, Jesus could have said, Father, I know I need to do this, because if I don't, all these people are going to go to hell. Did he say that?
No.
He didn't say that, did he? Is it true that because of the cross, God has redeemed us? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what did Jesus say at this moment in his life, at this critical juncture, at this time when he was suffering the most emotional pain, when he was thinking about what he was about to face, what was about to happen? He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, what? Glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The thing that beat the strongest in Jesus' heart was that his Father would get glory. That his Father would be glorified. That was first and foremost. We see it again in John chapter 17. After Jesus said this, he looked to heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God the Father. So, what would we say then if we were to put this together, the Old Testament meaning, the New Testament meaning of the word glory? What does it mean to say God's glory? Well, I'd like to just suggest to you a very simple definition. Anything that makes God look good. You see a beautiful sunrise, and what do you say? Praise God. Wow. Even people who don't share our faith often say that. I've heard them say it, you know. Or you see a beautiful sunset, you know. Or God does something. We heard some great testimonies this morning of what God had done for people. God be glorified. The Lord heals you. God be glorified. Whatever the situation is, God should receive our glory. Now, let's look again at the meology versus the doxology. The meologist, or let me start with the doxologist. The doxologists are those who live for the glory of God, and they have freedom. We love to quote the scriptures that talk about the freedom we have. Well, I believe that, and I know you believe that, but sometimes I don't believe we live the way we believe. Okay, I'm going to explain that to you. Because those who live for themselves do not have perfect freedom. You see, if you live for the glory of God, then no matter what comes your way, you can face it. Let me give you two people, the meologist and the doxologist. All right? They're both growing up. They come to faith, maybe in high school. And they believe it's God's will for them to go off to college. Maybe they You know, I'm not saying you have to go off to college. You can learn a trade, whatever. Maybe that's their, they believe it's God's will. So they go to college. They want to get a good job, graduate. Now they're looking for jobs. They both get a good job. They say, thank you, Father, for the good job. And they're working in their good job. And then they find that beautiful bride that they've always been looking for. And they get married. And they say, thank you, Lord. Both of them are feeling great, aren't they? And then things go south. The meologist, both of them are very successful in their work. But the meologist, he's saving all his money to buy the house on the lake he's always wanted. And again, please don't hear me, what I'm not saying. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is his focus in life, okay? That's what he wants to do. So he saving all this money, and all of a sudden his mother-in-law becomes ill, and they have to move her into the house. He goes, God, what are you doing to me? Now I can't save all my money. Now I have to spend time helping with my mother-in-law. My whole life is being turned topsy-turvy. What does the doxologist say? God, how can you be glorified in this situation? How can we give? I didn't see this coming. I wasn't planning for this. But God, you've allowed it to happen. So how can we glorify your name? Life continues to unfold. Things move along. All of a sudden, the economy goes south. Both the meologist and the doxologist lose their jobs. What does the meologist say? God, what are you doing to me? How come I don't have a job? You need to find me work. You need to help me because I'm not reaching my financial goals. What does the doxologist say? God, I don't like being unemployed. This stinks. I can use other words, but I won't use it this morning. But God, how can you be glorified in this situation? I'm going to be the best unemployed person I can be. I'm going to try to bring you glory in what's happening right now. Well, they both get their jobs back, even better jobs than they had before. Life's continuing to move on. The meologist is feeling good again. And all of a sudden, they both get notice from their daughters who are away at college. Dad, I need to tell you something. Reminds you probably read that story. It's really funny where the daughter needs to tell their dad something really bad and writes all these really horrible things. And then she says, oh, I'm just kidding. Actually, but I failed the course or whatever. I don't know. She tried to soften the blow. But the daughter says, Dad, I'm pregnant. So what does the meologist say? Wow. God, how could you allow this to happen to me? I raised my daughter in the church in a Christian home, and she's not, it just explodes. What does the doxologist say? God, I didn't anticipate this. Lord, I wasn't planning this, but how can you be glorified? How can I glorify you in this situation? What can I do? What can we do, my wife and I, and with our daughter, to bring you glory in this situation? Life continues to unfold. The meologist is doing well. His work's going well. He's serving in the church. He's an elder. He's a leader. He's having a great time. Work's going well. He's got that summer home built. He can't wait to retire to get to it. The doxologist decides God's called him to the mission field. He's on the mission field working there with his wife, and they're serving the Lord there, and things are going great. And all of a sudden, both of them learn they have a terminal illness. They're told they only have 6 months to live. What does the meologist say? Why me? Yeah, God, why me? I've built this house that I want to retire in. I've got all these plans. Why me? What does the doxologist say? God, I didn't invite this. Lord, I actually pray for your healing. But Father, if I'm not healed this side of heaven, I want you to be glorified in my illness. How can I glorify your name? What can I do to bring glory to you? They both pass away. Now, do you think they both went to heaven? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the meologist died with a frown on his face. Upset, bitter. How did the doxologist die? Smiling. Couldn't wait to see the Lord. See? That's the difference. Which side of the cross are you on? See, I believe that many of us, we all have to pass through that first side of the cross. If we had our own sanctuary, I would actually lobby to have a cross on the door where you come in with Jesus on the cross, and then a cross on the other side with Jesus off the cross, just the bare cross. See? Because we all have to walk through the cross to come to faith. But once we've done that, what is the primary goal in our lives? To glorify God. To not live on the other side of the cross. It's not about me anymore. Not about me, me, me. God, oh, thank you for saving me. God, you rescued me. God, you did this for me. God, do that for me. It no longer is about me. Now that we've come to faith, it's about what? Glorifying God. And even in coming to faith, it's about glorifying God. We are trophies in God's trophy case. Trophies of his glory. And so, how does this look? Well, let me give you an example here. If you're married, you should treat your spouse in a way that what? Glorifies God. If you're single, you should live your life in a way that glorifies God. If you're parents, you should raise your children in a way that glorifies God. As an employee or employer, you shouldn't treat your employer or employees in a way that glorifies God. You should dress in a way that glorifies God. You should eat in a way. Glorifies God. This next one's really hard. You should drive in a way. Well, you got a little far there today, Randy. We were doing pretty good when you got to that one. Yeah, you put the delete button on that one. Yeah. Believe me, I'm there. Sometimes I drive Linda to work into Baltimore and pick her up, and I did that on Friday, and I'm coming back to Baltimore and going down this narrow street. And there's this guy in a beautiful, looked like a brand new Mercedes, sitting there with his flashers on. And there's no way to get around him because traffic's coming the other way, just continually coming. And so I'm sitting there for a minute, another minute. He's not moving. So I lay on the horn, you know, let's go, buddy. Come on, what's going on here, you know? And then he finally moves. He goes up the intersection, backs around, and comes back the other way. So I gave him a pleasant look, you know. Of course, I couldn't see him. He had tinted glass. And I told Linda, this is, Linda, Randy, you shouldn't do that. That person could have a gun or something, you know. Might, probably could, but anyway. I wasn't really glorifying God in that situation, was I? So how about this last one? You should talk about people when they're not present in a way that does what? Glorifies God. Yeah. And Paul says it so well. This really sums it up. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. See? That's the key. Which side of the cross are we living on? Are we living in meology or doxology? Or is it about me or is it about God's glory? See? Me or God's glory? Well, I want to share with you a video. It's a song. And this is going to hopefully drive it all home for you this morning.
I love the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, it meant we could come before him with boldness. Because when that veil was torn in two, it gives us this access. It gives us this moment, these moments that we live for, that his presence comes and hovers and we can feel it. Aren't you so thankful for Jesus? Aren't you so thankful for the price that he paid on the cross? To pay for our sin and give us mercy and grace. But more than that, I love that he wanted us. He wants us. He loves to be with us. Will you lift your hands for a moment? I just want you to tune into that for a moment of just saying, God, I thank you for the cross. There's no one like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. press into you tonight, Lord. We love your presence. We love you. We love you.
I'm
sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. God. Yes. Forever you're glorified, O Lord. Ever and ever and ever and ever. For all eternity. The glory of God the Father. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace, because without it, we couldn't glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you poured out your grace, as we've stated before, one-way love poured out to each and every one of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Thank you for that grace, Lord. And thank you that as we receive your grace, Father, we can begin to glorify your name in all that we do, in all that we say, in each and every circumstance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to do that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. May you receive glory and honor. God, I pray for us individually that we would give you glory and honor in whatever we're facing, however we're facing it. And God, I pray that for us collectively as a body of believers, as a community of believers, as those who are joined together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that together we would be able to glorify your name, Lord, as we walk together through this life, as we make this journey together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the honor of serving you. Thank you, Lord, that you knew us long before we ever knew you. But Lord, each and every day we can walk with you. We can talk with you. And thank you, Father, that your love is far greater than any love we could even give to one another. As important as it is to love you back, it's it's just a drop in the bucket compared to the love that you shower us with. You love us so much, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, help us. I pray for me, for my brothers and sisters, for those that are not here today. Perhaps some will be listening to this message. God, help us to walk as doxologist, not as meologist, to be able to live our lives in such a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We ask that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.